You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, a big congratulations is in order for you, Dr. Martinelli, this evening, and also to Officer Wiley out of Dallas area.
Yeah, out of Mesquite Police Department, Officer Derek Wiley. God bless that brave and valiant officer. An amazing and unfortunate situation for him. Took away 2 years of his life. You can't even begin to imagine the pressure that an officer feels when he's been wrongfully accused in an officer-involved shooting of aggravated assault. It's just incredible where the United States of America in some areas is going today. I cannot figure it out, Linda. But we had a trial. He was tried by his peers. I was blessed and lucky enough to be able to be the forensic expert and police expert that came in and reconciled the evidence and testified on Officer Wiley's behalf against the Dallas County, the power of the Dallas County District Attorney's Office.
Well, you know, I think that would make a really great thread of evidence show for you to do at some point and talk about all of the components of that case, because it's really interesting. But the bigger picture than that, although that is a huge win, not just for you, not just for Officer Wiley, but for the rule of law and for what law enforcement goes through every day. But this war that is being waged on our police officers is just something that I just never thought I would see in my lifetime. And it's a really concerted effort by a lot of people to just to criminalize police officers for doing their job. Are there cases, Ron, where officers shoot at the wrong time?
Sure. And you know, Linda, I've done this for over 30 years, and I've been on the prosecution side. You know, my first case was Rodney King. It was not a shooting case, but it was a very famous beating case. And that was my first case for the United States Department of Justice at the time. And I've had a number of cases where I was asked as a forensic investigator to assist the prosecution and take a look at the evidence that they had in the case. And I gave positive testimony, that did not support the officer's statements as to what took place. I do not, and you know this, I mean, experts, at least honest and ethical experts, we do not represent or advocate for people or for entities. We advocate for forensic facts and evidence, no matter where that evidence takes us. And everything that I looked at about Derek Wiley's shooting of Lindo Jones back on November 8th, 2017, showed me that this was a righteous, albeit unfortunate, shooting. Mr. Jones was not killed. He was seriously wounded, but he had had a violent fight with Officer Wiley, had postured that he had a gun. During the fight with Officer Wiley, attempted to disarm Officer Wiley while he was under the influence of cocaine and marijuana and Xanax. And the officer was in a fight for his life. And then when Lindo Jones knocked Officer Wiley back, took 3 steps away from him, and then turned around very quickly with his right arm posturing as if he had a gun, and Officer Wiley had to make a life and death decision in 334 hundredths of a second, basically the blink of an eye. The blink of an eye.
See, and this is what I think people don't understand. I know that people don't understand it. Unless people have ever been in this situation, and we both have, where somebody has a weapon or you think somebody has a weapon. These situations happen so fast. People could never understand unless they've been in that kind of situation and have to make that critical decision in less than 1 second to save their life, to take a life, to save other people. These are just decisions that have to be made so quickly. And then we go back and we second guess every single thing that they did. And the people that are doing the second guessing are often political hacks that have an agenda, or they are people who seriously and truly do not understand what a police officer goes through in those kinds of life and death situations, or they are just, I don't know what other reason people would do this for, but this situation in our country where we have begun to really look at prosecuting any officer who is involved in a deadly force or a use of force against somebody, and we want to prosecute them. What do the public think is going to come of this?
Well, you know, the Wiley case, it typifies, and I'm appreciative of you bringing up the thing that this is a conversation about a much larger problem in the United States, a nationwide problem where we do not support those who we put out on the thin blue line to protect us, you know, to enforce the rule of law and to protect us from people like Lindo Jones. So, I mean, just very briefly, you know, the lead up to this shooting was that Lindo Jones is a person that's been in and out of prison and jail for various felonious assaults, weapons charges, drug charges. The guy's basically a street criminal. And this is admitted by him. I mean, basically a person with serious drug problems for 15 years, and the guy's only 30 years old. He's got a number of children from different women. And on this particular day, he takes $150 of the family money and he goes out and he buys Xanax and marijuana and cocaine. He's got a little daughter that he is supposed to be picking up at daycare. So he drives down the highway under the influence of all of these drugs and he gets lost. And he gets off the freeway because he takes the wrong exit. And instead of trying to get himself put back together or ask directions, he continues to drive. And he drives 5 miles out of his way until he ends up at a parking lot where he starts taking drugs for 3.5 hours.
And his little girl is stuck in daycare with nobody to pick her up, and it's dark.
Exactly. And that's when he encounters Officer Wiley, because Mr. Jones is on private property of a manufacturing plant taking drugs, and the owners told him to leave and he wouldn't leave. So they called the police, and poor Officer Wiley comes out there and encounters Mr. Jones. And Linda, the thing that is just incredible is that this entire event, from the time that Officer Wiley opened the car door and put his first foot on the pavement of that parking lot until shots fired, was 52 seconds. And the entire encounter with Mr. Jones was only 40 seconds.
And this is something that people really don't understand, how fast these situations evolve and how quickly somebody can hurt or kill you. And what the officer their mindset has to be, their decision-making has to be, protect the public, protect themselves. All of these things that they have to think of. Now they have to add an extra component in there and think about, am I going to be prosecuted and go to jail? And that split second could end their life. It's a tragedy that's happening. And the not just these prosecutors, Ron, this happens all over the country in so many cases where...
Well, absolutely.
Where officers are, you know, just second-guessed for everything that they do. And somebody gets up in a courtroom and says that they shouldn't have done this and they shouldn't have done that. A person who has never been in that situation in their life, who would have no idea what to do in that situation, is going to backseat drive this and try to put a good police officer away for life.
Well, you know what really bothered? There's so many levels of things that bothered me. But the thing that, one of the main things that bothered me was the way that the Dallas County District Attorney's Office, including their investigators, handled this case against Officer Wiley. First of all, they made their first mistake was that they made an inappropriate and inaccurate determination of guilt. Right off the bat, they did. Okay, so right off the bat, they screwed up, and they just believed that Officer Wiley criminally shot Mr. Jones because Mr. Jones had two rounds in the back, right? And Officer Wiley said, no, the guy was facing me. He was pointing what I thought was a gun at me, and you know, I had a millisecond to make a decision, and I pulled the trigger. Well, also during that millisecond, Wiley started to turn. Okay, turned to his right, and ended up with two holes in his back. But the thing that was nice about this for me is that there was dash cam footage and body cam footage. So, of course, I had to do, you know, a lot of forensic things to break this video down and to, you know, make the determinations as to the body mechanics. How was he facing? How was he not facing? And whose story is supported by forensic evidence? And literally every single thing that Derek Wiley said, and he's been a police officer for the Mesquite Police Department in Texas for 10 years, he's got a perfectly clean record. He has an excellent reputation by his peers and before that by his superiors. And Jones is the antithesis of that. But anyway, they had the primary detective in the officer-involved shooting case, Aaron Berger, a wonderful man. He says, there's insufficient probable cause here, and there's more work that needs to be done on the case. Sergeant Parker, his superior, who supervised the shooting, said the same thing. That wasn't enough for the district attorney's office. So in the first time in the history of the Mesquite Police Department, they take the entire investigation away from the police department, and they take over the investigation, yet they do almost nothing. What they do is they call a very well-known retired Texas Ranger, Rudy Flores, in, and they pay Rudy Flores like people pay me. Would you please take a look at this independently? Rudy is the salt of the earth, okay? He is the eminent Texas Ranger, okay? One to be extremely respected. And he takes a look at this thing and he says, good shoot. Objectively reasonable, good shoot. They said, thank you very much, Texas Ranger Flores, and goodbye. And they paid him his money, and they took off, and they said, we're going in our own direction. And that's where they went, Linda, until they came in contact with me.
but this happens. The tragedy of this is these are political-type situations instead of criminal situations. It never should have been a criminal situation. Yet you take somebody's life away from them for several years, along with their family. They have a family and kids. By the way, both the officer and the suspect were black men.
Right.
Otherwise we'd be hearing racism all over the place. But the tragedy is that somebody's political agenda harms somebody else's life like this.
Right. And you know what was interesting about this case, I can only speak from my perspective, but I know Derek now very well, having done the forensic interview and been around him for quite some time now, getting to know him. What really bothered me is all the forensic evidence supported what Officer Wiley had to say. I went out there, I did my own independent measurements, I did a lot of forensic work, and I'm out there on the stand trying to connect the dots with some very complicated issues, you know, trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together in front of the jury that knows nothing about law enforcement and what police officers do. And my task was to take people that knew nothing about law enforcement and put them in Officer Wiley's shoes and get them there that night on that dark, cold night, whether it was rainy and foggy, and in a millisecond, make a life and death decision as to whether they were going to defend themselves and perhaps take somebody's life. And thank God I was able to do that, and they were finally able to see through Officer Wiley's eyes, along with the forensic evidence, what really happened, and discount the district attorney's completely misrepresented and specious story about what happened.
But I think that where you were going with that was the comments that they made to you about wearing a thin blue line flag.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's the harmony or disharmony of what a person says in comparison to what they do. So the district attorney, the deputy DA, his name was Mitchell. He takes me on. Actually, I had three district attorneys taking me on at different times. And Mitchell is telling everybody, look, this is not... Your decision is not anti-law enforcement. It's just against this particular officer that did something criminal. And at the same time, he keeps telling the jury that he's pro-law enforcement. Every single thing that comes out of his mouth and his actions is anti-law enforcement. So he takes me on his last ridiculous argument, because the district attorney's office really didn't know what to do with me, because I'm talking about the facts and they didn't have the facts. So it was an emotional argument on their side and a forensic argument on my side. But anyway, that being said, he starts taking me on because I'm wearing a thin blue line tag, you know, lapel pin. And I'm saying to him, do you even know what this represents? This does not represent a support for Officer Wiley. This thin blue line supports law enforcement and the rule of law. The same thing, because you're also a law enforcement officer. A lot of people don't know that district attorneys are law enforcement officers. This represents the same thing that you are supposed to be representing. You're not supposed to be, you know, representing Officer Wiley, and you're not supposed to be representing Lindo Jones, which is what they thought they were representing. They kept referring to him as a victim, you know, without having the facts and to determine who really was the victim here. And it was clearly Officer Wiley, not Lyndall Jones. So he's taking me on and he doesn't even know what he's talking about. And I think the jury saw that, and the way they reported it back to us, they were gratified that they had me and the wonderful attorneys that I was working with, Kathy Lathrop, Rafael Sierra, and Glennis McKinney, to explain to them, along with Derek Wiley, point by point, what really happened that night.
Well, some people don't really want to know the facts, Ron. They just want to prosecute officers, and we just are seeing this so much more in our country. And in fact, you and I have been sitting in a restaurant, and I'll never forget, in the booth behind us was, you know, some other people, and they were talking about that they didn't think that there should be police at all, that people should just take turns, and each person would have, you know, a week or two, and they would be the law enforcement for those weeks, and then it would switch to somebody else. You know, when you think of the training that a person going into law enforcement goes through, it's not a day of training. It's not, you know, training to play basketball or something. It is intense learning and training. It is education. It's, you know, book learning. It's physical. It's, you know, athletic type things. And it's marksmanship and law. And all of these different things, shoot, don't shoot.
It's a mini college.
So many different things.
People don't understand that police academies are mini colleges. And what we do is we compress all the information that officers need to learn. And that's just the start, by the way.
That's just the start.
That's not the end. That's the beginning. And Officer Wiley had learned all that stuff. I talked about collective knowledge. But, you know, just to kind of wrap this conversation up right now, I am just so thankful to have been selected as the forensic police practices expert and investigator in this case by the Commission on Law Enforcement Agencies Associations in Texas, and have their confidence. I was blessed to be able to work with such phenomenal attorneys like Kathy and Rafael and Glennis, and I was just blessed by the support of all the people that follow what I do across the United States. And there was no way. I was lucky enough to be the tip of the spear, but I had so many people that laid down the foundation before I even got involved with this case. And I just want to give credit where credit is due. Those people, all those attorneys and those officers are just heroes to me.
Well, and I am quite sure that you are a hero to Officer Wiley, as he is a free man, as he should be.
As we say, let the silent voices be heard. Shadow banning, editing, censorship, blocking, and adherence to political correctness are seen as serious threats to our God-given right to free speech. Suppressing free speech, the very cornerstone of our society, is not in the best interest of our listeners, readers, and those who provide our content. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, tonight you get hotel room coffee, Ron. Here we are in Orlando, Florida.
At the Gaylord.
At the Gaylord Resort, which is a phenomenal place to go.
I love this place because it's all self-contained and we don't get the heat and the humidity, and quite a few good restaurants, and we're enjoying the...
No bugs.
No bugs. And you know, there's a lot of good restaurants here, and we're enjoying some cannoli. Because
yeah,
we ate Italian, because we ate Italian tonight. So anyway, what's up?
Well, you know, bad behavior. My favorite subject.
I know it is. Go ahead.
Politicians with bad behavior. And there certainly are a lot of them right now. The first one that I want to talk about is one of those mob squad members, Rashida Tlaib.
Okay.
There's a video that just came out that's really interesting that shows her several years back before she was ever a congresswoman.
2016.
Is that Trump, when it was?
It's a 2016 Trump campaign meeting. Okay.
In Detroit, I think. And she was taken kicking and screaming out of the meeting, yelling.
By the Secret Service?
Yeah, yelling at Trump before Trump was president.
And before she was elected to Congress.
Before she was elected, yes. So, really interesting because you can see where her mindset is. That's no surprise. It's interesting. I didn't know about the video, but no surprise that she still retains that absolute hatred of the president. And the video is quite hilarious if people would like to look it up.
Well, you know, these people, the squad of four, and of course there's, you know, scores of other congresspeople and senators that are just such an embarrassment. You know, and speaking of the squad, how about Ilhan Omar, and basically what's going on with her is that they found out that she filed a joint tax return with one man while she's married to another man. And so the media got wind of this and made a request for her tax returns. And guess what, Lynn? She is the person that is demanding that President Trump give up his past tax returns, but she's not willing to give the media her tax returns. So how does that work?
Well, it's called hypocrisy. That's what it's called. Yeah, because she really has a lot of shady things or questionable things in her past with her marriages and her tax returns and her brother. And, you know, she doesn't want to discuss them. She only wants to discuss about somebody else. So she's always pointing the finger at somebody, but she's never willing to let anybody look at her. And she will absolutely deflect any questions about herself and her life and her past to the media.
Well, you know, and then AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's sort of the leader of the mob of four, the mob squad, as you refer to them.
The mob squad,
She's very much pushing the whole anti-Israeli boycott by international nations. And, of course, the two Muslim gals, the Tlaib and Omar, are totally in favor of that. And that's just that's just horrible. And so we get these people that have been elected to Congress with a very, very small constituency, if you really think about it. You know, Queens, a small constituency. Little Somalia in Michigan, for Omar, who's Somali, very small constituency. And then Tlaib, another very small constituency. But they're getting so much media hype that it's just ridiculous. It's like you don't ever hear from anybody else but these four, and the media keeps championing,
championing.
Championing these four women, and it's just taking America right off the track.
Well, I wrote an article about it called The Mob Squad last week, and it's on America Out Loud. I don't think you had a chance to read that one, but it, you know, it kind of laid out what the issues are with these four women. And the thing is, I, you know, currently, as you and I are speaking, we are with a large group of people at a business event, and there is no love lost for these four ladies from what we're hearing, you know,
from people that are from their state.
They hope that they get voted out, and they don't appreciate what they're doing, and they don't appreciate the type of rhetoric that they are spewing every day at the president.
Well, it's hateful rhetoric, and I don't think we need to go there. And, you know, there is just so much dissension in this country right now from, I really think, small groups, but the media tends to expand that and make it look like it's so much bigger. However, what bothers me, and we're talking about this in our first cup of coffee with the police officers, you know, they attack government, they attack the police, they attack the rule of law, they attack capitalism, they attack our president of the United States and his cabinet, who have really gone at great lengths and made great sacrifices to move America forward. And, you know, you got the Democrats here with, I don't know, 23 different candidates. And it's criticism, criticism, criticism. But I think, Linda, you brought up something that I thought was very key. They criticize everything the president does, but they don't criticize the economy. How come?
Because the economy is booming. They don't want to talk about the economy because the economy is not something that they can win on, because President Trump is winning on that. The other thing that they're not doing, Ron, and I think that Americans have their number right now, is they have no solutions for anything. They have a lot of criticisms for everything. And you and I talk constantly about the border because it's just such a big issue. They criticize, 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 but they do nothing to resolve it. And they are the people who need to resolve it. It's not President Trump. President Trump is trying to do it out of self-defense because they don't do it. But it is the Congress's job to take care of this border, and they are not doing their job.
Well, I want to go farther, because they're the people that created the problem in the first place.
Well, they are.
Okay, this problem, this problem's been around for decades, and the Congress has been around since the founding fathers were here, and they haven't done a damn thing to secure the border in the United States. We are a sovereign nation, and they're not doing anything. They're not supporting ICE. They're not supporting our Department of Homeland Security. They're not funding. They complain about, you know, these abysmal conditions that the immigrant kids are in. And by the way, they're in nowhere, shape, or form in abysmal conditions. They're in the best environment they've been in probably for the vast majority of them for their entire lives. But they won't even fund the things that they are criticizing the Trump administration and ICE for not providing. It's absolutely, it's amazing, and it's ludicrous.
Well, you know, and you're talking about the border, and I wasn't really going to go there, but the Supreme Court really now has the ball in their court, so to speak, with this border situation, because don't forget that we had the federal judge put a stay on President Trump's money that he was taking to build the wall and stop that just in a heartbeat. And then the Ninth Circuit refused to stop that stay. So it's still in effect, and he can't do anything. He can't pull that money and start building the wall. So now that is in the hands of the Supreme Court, and we're going to see how they rule. And, you know, that's absolutely probably going to be something on party along party lines, even though there's supposed to be no party in the Supreme Court, but there really is. So we're all waiting to see what they do with that, to see if President Trump can start building that wall, because he has just been stymied with really everything that he's tried to do as president. Some liberal judge has stopped him in his tracks, and then he has to go to court. And he's won a lot of those battles, but he has to continue to fight for every single inch he gets. And it's just a shame that these people are putting all of us in that situation. We voted for him to do these things, and they disrespect and really void our votes. Well, while we're talking about judges, I'll throw something else in that I just think is despicable that a judge just ruled on, and that's federal judge Bruce Hendricks in Greenville County, South Carolina, ruled that at Greenville County School District, he has banned school-sponsored prayers, sacred music, and the use of religious venues at public school graduations. So when kids would graduate, they would say a prayer, whether it's a prayer, a blessing, an invocation, a benediction, whatever, an inspirational reading, all of that has been banned. They cannot sing a song that is religious in nature. They cannot say a prayer. And I'm just shocked that we as a Christian country, from the day that we were born as a country, cannot say a prayer in school anymore. And I just don't even understand where we're going with this. But I guarantee you that the vast majority of Americans want us to be able to do that.
Well, you know, that's the whole, you know, separation of church and state thing, but I think you can take that, you know, to extreme.
This is an extreme. It's very extreme.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't disagree with it. You know, let me bring out something here, because, you know, we're talking about the Gang of Four, and Tlaib is now calling for a $20 an hour minimum wage.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
And she's citing the rising costs and of living and all of this. But Linda, you know, you were telling me just yesterday that Bernie Sanders got on the bandwagon after he was taking a lot of heat from his own staff because they wanted to be paid $15 an hour. And so he relented. But tell that story, because it's a pretty interesting story. So Bernie says, okay, I'm going to pay you the $15 an hour. And then what does he do, Lynn?
Well, he cut their hours, so which is exactly proves the capitalist point of view, not the socialist point of view. It's exactly what business says will happen if they have to raise people's salary beyond a point that makes sense for a business like a fast food restaurant or that type of business to stay in business. So either they're going to have to go out of business, or they're going to have to cut hours, or they're going to have to cut services. They're going to have to do something, raise prices, to be able to get this to work. So here is a socialist who is complaining about the wages, and he wants to raise all of our wages in small business and make you pay what they want you to pay, yet he won't do it himself in the same way. It's the same result, Ron. If you cannot afford it, and nothing is going to make you be able to afford it. So you have to make a cut somewhere. And we've said all along in a capitalist society, and looking at it from a business perspective, that it would actually hurt people more because their hours would get cut, or they'd just get laid off and they would have less employees. And that's exactly what Bernie Sanders did. You know, the other thing that Bernie Sanders did, which we've talked about before, along the same lines, is you know, he was asked in the debates, well, if you really believe that, you know, people should pay more taxes, why don't you? You know, you're certainly free to write a check to the government. And he said, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm going to pay whatever I owe.
I wrote that book. Yeah. I made $600,000, and that's my money.
So they want it to apply to everybody else, but not to themselves. You know, back in 2008, Ron, Nancy Pelosi said about immigrants coming into the country, and I quote, "We certainly don't need any more of them coming in here." What changed?
Well, nothing changed except the Democrats realize after Donald Trump gets elected president of the United States that there's no way that they're going to be able to take this guy on unless by fraud. And so obviously they need to get as many illegal aliens going through the process to become voters, amnesty, you know, Dreamer Act, whatever. But, you know, they're saying that there's about 11 million illegal aliens in the United States. I will tell you right now that there's probably more like 25 million illegal aliens in the United States. If they get amnesty, if they get the ability to vote, America as we know it is done. And that's not some sort of xenophobic response. That is actually what will happen in this country. We will turn immediately to a democratic socialist country, and we will just lose complete context to who we are as a nation and as a people.
Well, and the thing is that it's, again, it's hypocritical for politicians to say one thing when they're in power and a completely opposite thing when somebody else is in power. Either right is right and wrong is wrong, or it's not, and it doesn't change regardless of who's in the White House. And that's what's upsetting, I think, to a lot of America, is they see this hypocrisy. The last bad behavior that I want to discuss. Listen, I love the women's soccer team, but Megan Rapinoe, with her talk about our president, I just find really disturbing. I don't think that there's anywhere in sports for that. And she thinks that the American people really back her, and she continues to say that President Trump doesn't like people who look and act like her. And, you know, I don't think anything could be further from the truth, because I don't see I don't see our president doing any gay bashing or anything like that. But what I do see is bad behavior on her part, and I don't think that that's great for our sportsmanship in this country.
Well, I've got two things to say, because I represented this country for 3 years in track and field, and I think any time that you represent your country, no matter what sport it is, no matter what your sex, what your gender is, what your sexual orientation, it really doesn't matter. You're there, you're putting on a United States jersey, you're representing the United States of America and the people in the United States of America. You're there to forward your sport. You're there to represent your sport and your country. And you're lucky to be able to do both of those things. And if you're gonna be placed in a position of responsibility and role modeling, then you need to be a responsible person. This is not a time for self-serving, selfishness, advancing goals.
And political activism.
And exactly. That's not the place for that. And by the way, you know, this talk about Donald Trump being anti-gay, there is not been a president that did as much for the LGBT community than Donald Trump has done. All right, he is not anti-gay, he's not anti-anything, he's pro-American. And when she says he doesn't like people like me, she takes it because she looks through everything in life in the prism of her sexuality. She needs to look in terms of, are you an a-hole, all right? Are you an American basher? Are you anti-American in the way that you represent this country? And I think that's what Donald Trump talks about. I think it's what I'm referring to. I don't want a person that's representing the United States to say embarrassing things and say you're not going to go to the White House. It is a privilege to go to the White House. God, I wish I could get invited to go to the darn White House.
It represents all of us, and they're not doing America or their team any favors by doing this whole political thing. It was not President Trump who started this war of words. It was she who started the war of words. And I just think it needs to stay out of our sports.
And I agree with you. How about our last cup of coffee?
We got it.
Tired of watching the same old sporting events? Well, kick it up a notch and get ready, America, for something you've never seen before. It's the new generation of Western superstars. Shorty Gorham's American Freestyle Bullfighting. Who will win? The acrobatic, tough-as-nails Western superstar or the meanest half-ton fighting bulls on Earth? This is one of the most extreme sports you'll ever see in an arena. This is hand-to-horn combat on a level playing field. Go to ShortyGorhamAFB.com or find them on Facebook. It's bullfighting time.
Well, this is my fun facts section, Ron.
Okay.
We're going to do a bunch of fun facts that are, you know, just good to know. The first thing I want to discuss with you, I don't know if you have heard that India is actually sending up a space shuttle to the moon right about now.
I haven't heard that.
Okay, well, of course, it's our 50th year anniversary for Apollo, the Apollo 11 trip to the moon. And that has just been a big deal in this country. And our president is vowing to go back to the moon and then on to Mars. Well, India, in the meantime, has built a spacecraft that is just set to launch to the south side of the moon, which is the side of the moon that they, a few years back, think that they found evidence of water having been on the moon. So they are sending this spacecraft back there with a rover, and they're going to do some exploration. I had no idea that India was even involved in the space race.
Well, you know, I haven't seen any pictures of the Indian spacecraft or the shuttle. Okay, but you're saying that it will not be a lunar landing. They are going to do an orbit with the shuttle, and then they are going to drop by parachute, right, a lunar lander on the surface of the moon. And then this, by remote control, is going to dig into the ground and, you know, take some samples, kind of like what we do on Mars, right?
Well, I have no idea, Ron. So I don't know the answer to that.
We should Google it. We should find out.
I did see a picture of the spacecraft, which it looks just like, you know, one of those tri-rockets that go up and then, you know,
kind of
separates.
Kind like what the Russians use, those types.
But I just thought it was really interesting because I did not know that more people in the world were invested into the space race, and I think that that's great.
Now, who's left? I don't know if you know, but is Buzz Aldrin, is he the last surviving?
I think that there may be two of them, but I don't know. I've actually seen a lot of interviews on TV in the last week, and I don't know. Honestly, I've been involved in my business convention, haven't had a lot of time to watch.
But you know what? Okay, so speaking of your business, I think you've been doing some 50th anniversary promotional products, haven't you?
I have.
Is that a big deal right now?
It's a very big deal. In fact, it's interesting that some of the products, if you just picture things like those squeezy toys, right? So stress balls in the shape of a moon, you know, with craters on it, those types of things that are sold by so many factories in the U.S. They're made overseas, but they're sold by the factories. You can't even find one. They're just completely sold out.
And that's how popular they are. Is that what you're saying?
There's a lot of promotions that have been going on around the Apollo 11.
And one of your clients made headsets for the first lunar landing, didn't they?
They did, yes.
Okay, so and you're doing some work with them. I think that's fascinating.
Yep, there's lots of things going on with Apollo, lots of celebrations in the country. And, you know, I'm glad to see President Trump, because after 50 years, we really haven't done a whole lot more. And now the president is invested in, you know, moving this program forward. Here's another interesting tidbit that is just really, I don't know, I didn't know this. So people are on Facebook all over the world, right? Huge, huge application of Facebook. But there's an app that you can download that's called FaceApp.
FaceApp. Okay.
And FaceApp is that app that makes you look older. It ages you.
Is this the one that one of our sons sent me the picture? I want to just tell you something about that app. That app is spooky, all right? Because, you know, one of our sons, who will remain nameless, okay? He's 34 years old, and he sent me a picture of himself, and he looked like he was like 55 years old, and it looked so much like what he would look like when he was 55 years old as his dad in my 60s. I freaked out. But can I tell you something? I heard a rumor about that app. And is that the app that they tell you not to download because the Russians can hack into all your photographs and videos? Is that the rumor I'm hearing?
Yes and no. It is not that they can hack into it. But by getting that app, you agree that the company, which is a Russian company, has a perpetual, irrevocable, non-exclusive, royalty-free, worldwide, fully paid, transferable license to use, reproduce, modify, adapt, publish, and display your image.
Oh, no.
So you can can end up being a bot in a commercial anywhere in the world with your image, your face
and,
on
and
the image,
given
and
permission.
You can't do a thing about it forever. Forever. So I would never download this app, but 80 million people have disregarded that warning and gone ahead and done it because they think it's funny, just like
well, it is. Our boy it did. Is funny. It's a little bit spooky.
But it's spookier what they can do with your image. And they can make your facial image, just think about this, say things that you would never say. You know, so, I mean...
Oh, wait a minute. Stop. Mm-hmm. Hold the presses. Not only can they take your picture, but they can make your image say things that you would never say?
Well,
is that what you're
trying
to say?
I mean, they can
me?
Use it in any way they want. If you read the agreement,
okay.
They can use it in any way they want forever.
Wow.
So, I think that's pretty scary. My suggestion would be don't download that app, Face App, ever.
Right.
That being said, it's pretty funny. Speaking of pretty funny,
okay.
It's not funny, but because it's a very, very serious subject. But there was a person in law enforcement talking about a double murder and explaining it.
Oh, the RCMP's up in Canada with the cat app.
Well, it's a filter. And so again, something that you and I don't have, but our kids will sit at the dinner table and make all these funny faces of us.
Well, they do the goofy things with the
tongue and the dog ears.
And
they make us look ridiculous. Well, that particular app can make you have cat ears and cat whiskers. And this person is having this very serious discussion on television about a double murder, and somebody mistakenly applied that cat filter to the person speaking so that everybody that saw that person, it looked like a cat.
Okay, so we were driving to the airport the other day to get out here to Orlando. I'm driving the truck. And you start cracking up, and I cannot figure out what you're laughing about.
I couldn't stop laughing.
And I said to you, what the heck is so funny? And you said, you know, you're looking at this video of this press conference on this double homicide, and the person that was giving the press conference, and I think it was a woman, wasn't it?
It was a woman.
Inspector,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Inspector, RCMP inspector. And when you showed it to me while I was driving, I had to
You almost
slow
went
down.
Off the road.
I had to slow down because she looked like a cat.
Yeah. And I thought, wow, you know what these guys are doing in their off time now there.
Yeah.
And,
oh,
you know,
it's, you
I'm sure that some heads were rolling
heads
over
are
that.
Roll. Yeah. Heads are rolling on that one.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you know, there's a lot of fun facts about America. I love facts about America. I think that we don't know enough about our country in our country. So as long as you and I are talking, I want to throw some out at you, see if you have some comments about
them.
You
always do this to me.
Okay. No, they're just facts.
All
right. It's not a quiz.
Okay, you're not going to test me or
not
something.
Not going to test you on anything.
Okay, because I have test anxiety.
But did you know?
But did you know that
there was a president?
But did you know?
Before George Washington, did you know that?
I did know that.
Really?
I did know that. Right. He was not. Everybody thinks that George Washington was the first president. There was another guy that was president, but only for an extremely brief amount of time. So he was kind of lost in history.
Well, because this was before the 13 states were bound by the Constitution.
Correct.
They operated under the Articles of Confederation.
Correct.
And John Hanson of Maryland was elected as the first president of the Continental Congress.
Correct.
So that was, you know, just prior to the Constitution. But really, he still was a president prior to George Washington.
Okay.
So that's something that I think that most people don't know. Another fun fact about our United States is, what do you think is the most popular state beverage in the majority of states that have a state beverage?
Beer.
Oh, well, that would make sense to me. I don't know. But actually, 28 states have the official beverage as milk.
Milk, really?
Milk.
Okay, well, got that one wrong.
Yep.
See,
now, it may change
what?
In our new society okay. Now. I don't know.
Okay, so Linda, you're telling me that you're not going to quiz me, but the last two questions sounded a lot like test questions. Okay.
Oh, just because.
I'm just saying. Go ahead.
And did you know that our July 4th holiday was not always a July 4th holiday? It actually was supposed to be July 2nd. But the Continental Congress voted for that to be July 2nd in 1776.
I have to admit, I did not know that.
The reason that it's on July 4th is because they didn't get around to signing it until July 4th.
Oh.
You know, somebody was probably out somewhere and okay. They didn't get, you know, how to,
so we sort of had
ride the horse in.
So we had a do-nothing Congress way back then.
Okay. Well, at least they did it in 2 days. That's a lot better than what we're doing these days.
All right.
Okay. And did you know that during Prohibition that you could get a prescription for alcohol?
I did know that. I did know that. There were a lot of loopholes, by the way, in regards to how people could legally consume alcohol.
Well, they considered it had medicinal qualities back in those days.
Yeah.
So the doctors would write a prescription, kind of like the medical marijuana of the day.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. And did you know that we have a national tree? Now, you know that we have the state trees all the time.
Okay, so
but we have a national tree.
Can I take a guess? Can I take a guess
sure.
at this? Is it the oak tree?
It is the oak tree.
Ah, yes.
And the oak tree, I love that tree. It's just such a statuesque tree.
It's a majestic
it
tree.
It is. And it's such an interesting tree and grows so many cool ways.
And we have some on our property, but they're not the heritage oaks.
No.
You remember when we lived in Temecula, we had 150 heritage oak trees on our property, and they were just gorgeous.
They were gorgeous. Yep. Now we have these scrawny little, I don't know what they are.
They call them oak trees, but they're kind of scrawny.
Yeah. And, you know, one of my favorite animals is the cow, right? The bulls and cows.
I think last year we did an entire
whole cow show. I could do that again. I really enjoyed that.
Oh my god, the stuff we do when we're married and we're talking. Okay.
But did you know that 9 states have more cows than people?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, they are Idaho, Iowa, Kansas, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, and Wyoming. I have not been to a number of those states. Definitely have been to Oklahoma and can absolutely understand that they definitely have more cows than people.
Yep.
And it's like about 4.5 cows for every person.
Well, a lot of those states, I've been to several of those states, and they're not well populated. So I could totally understand that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Iowa has 7 times more pigs than people.
I certainly didn't know that.
20 million pigs.
Holy crime.
Yeah. And okay. 3.1 million people.
Okay.
So that's, if the pigs ever get mad at people, the people are in trouble. People in Kentucky are outnumbered also.
By what?
Well, do you have any thought?
The outnumbered by Kentucky. Is it whiskey bottles?
Whiskey barrels.
Oh.
Yeah. No, actually, yeah, bourbon.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So that might be a good place to go on vacation. And I know you know the largest office building in the world.
This is the Pentagon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the 6 million square feet of office space.
And we've been there.
I wonder if all that's full.
And we've been there, and it's immense. I don't think people understand how big the Pentagon is.
Yeah. Yep. It's beautiful. And the memorial there for the 9/11 victims is absolutely.
And it has its own zip code. All right.
Okay. Yep. Did you know Harry, what is Harry S. Truman's middle name?
Gosh. Was it? Oh, wait a minute. It was Houdini, wasn't it?
Harry S. Truman?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Harry. No, I don't know what the S was in Truman's name.
And that is because he has no middle name. His middle name is S.
S, period.
Yes. His parents couldn't decide between both of the grandfathers. One had Anderson Ship Truman and one had Solomon Young, and they were both S's.
Amazing.
So they just made it S.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just little fun facts about America. And did you know that the U.S. Postal Service in some areas of our country, especially Arizona, still uses mules to deliver the U.S. mail?
I did not know that.
Yeah, because if you think about places, people that live near the Grand Canyon and places like that, you can't really drive there.
Oh.
You need a pack animal.
I did not know. You're bringing up some stuff that I didn't know. Okay, this is a great learning experience.
And
tonight.
I think that most people don't know these things. Okay, this is one of those useless studies that never should have been done. Whoever spent the money on this absolutely should be, you know, I don't know. Kansas is flatter than a pancake. And they actually took a pancake from IHOP and they measured how flat it was under a laser microscope. And they measured Kansas. And Kansas was flatter than the pancake.
They better not have taken grant money to do that.
I hope not. But you know what? Kansas is not the flattest state. We happen to be in the flattest state right now as we're speaking.
So, are you talking about Florida's the flattest state? I was going to say the flattest state I've ever been in is Nebraska, because I think the highest part in Nebraska is only 200 feet high.
Well, no, because the state's highest spot in Florida is 312 feet high, and that is the flattest state in the Union.
Okay.
So, those are just some fun facts about the United States of America. And, you know, it's interesting because there's many, many more. Maybe we'll talk about it again. That we could talk about things that, you know, just, it's where we live. It's things, maybe a trivia kind of things, but things that are really interesting that I just think helps all of us. It helps me to know more about the country that I live in.
Well, you know, this has been a pretty interesting coffee conversation tonight. You know, we talked about a lot of things together. You know, we talked about the law enforcement issues and problems and bad behavior and now this quiz on the United States.
You know, wasn't a quiz.
All this interesting conversation has pretty much tuckered me out, and I'm ready to hit the sack. How about you, my darling?
I'll be right there with you.
Okay, get her done.